appreciate everyone that's made it back this afternoon. We're going to continue with our final lesson in Romans chapter 12. There's a phrase that is found in Romans 12, verse 20. And it talks something about heaping coals of fire. So I've gotten thinking about this verse, and I'm trying to figure out what in the world this heaping coals of fire, what does that mean? And so I wish Shane Hamrick was here today, because he might be able to give some insight to this. Because I was thinking about it, I was talking to Shane one day. By trade, he's a welder. And so he was talking to me one time about some type of helmet that he wanted to get. Because we know they weld, they wear those long sleeves, heavy, thick sleeves, heavy, thick gloves, has to wear a big old helmet. And he said it's got to be 130, 140 degrees when you get out on a hot day somewhere on the job out welding. And he said sometimes he likes to cheat, and he pulled part of that helmet off. And when it did, he said those little embers just sit there and pop all over him. He's got little marks all over the top of his head, the back of his head, where when he's welded, that'll pop up on him and burn him. And he said he wanted to get this new kind of helmet because it was so much cooler and somehow it would protect him. So that's about as close as I can come up with of analogy. What does it mean to say heap coals of fire upon someone's head? And so that's a phrase that is used in the Bible. The Apostle Paul used it here in the book of Romans. And so maybe it's something we can use our vernacular. So it's either going to make us sound really smart, or it might end up getting us a restraining order against us. I don't know which way it's going to go. But there's a phrase in the Bible. It says to heap coals of fire upon people's heads. And so we're going to talk about that. The verse comes from Romans 12 and 20. So I mentioned this morning, I kind of stealthily skipped this one verse as we went through Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 20. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. So what does that phrase mean? Heap coals of fire upon his head. And for a little while tonight, that's what we're going to talk about. Before we go further, let's go to God in prayer. But what does it mean to heap coals of fire upon somebody's head? Now, when I was talking to Shane about that, he said it wasn't real pleasant having one of those sparks from the welding come up and get him on top of the head and burn him. He didn't say it quite that pleasantly. But he said it's pretty painful. And so I can just imagine this vision or this image of heaping coals of fire upon somebody's head. Well, if you want me to tell you what I know about it, man, I've studied this, I've read it, I've looked at a whole bunch of different people's thoughts, and I've come to the conclusion that nobody really knows what this phrase means. So I'll give you the best I can give you, but this is a very misunderstood, kind of controversial passage. Now, I will tell you there's a misconception. Do not pull this verse out of context. Because if you just pull this one little part and say, I'm going to heap coals of fire upon somebody's head, that would sound to me to be kind of mean. That would sound to me to be kind of negative. And it would sound like that is a biblical way to punish someone. I'm going to heap coals of fire upon their head. Don't take it out of context. Because if you take this phrase out, it appears to be negative. And that is not what the scriptures are saying. In fact, it is the exact opposite of what the scriptures are saying. It's saying if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If your enemy is thirsty, give him a drink. Don't pull it out of context and say, oh, I'm allowed to be hateful to another person, to my enemy, because the Bible says I can heap coals of fire upon their head. That is not what this passage means. In fact, I'll use this slide from this morning. It comes in with some of these last traits that we were talking about. Repay to no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things. Live peaceably with all men. Do not avenge yourselves. And then right here between number 23 and number 24, where number 24, overcome evil with good, right there between 23 and 24 is where the Apostle Paul makes this reference to heap coals of fire on his head. It's not negative. It's not punishment. It's not something we can find a loophole that now we have a way to be mean to people. That is not at all what the scripture means. I can tell you something I do know about it. The Apostle Paul did not just pull this phrase out of thin air. He is quoting. In fact, he's quoting King Solomon. He is quoting from one of the Proverbs. Proverbs 25, 21 and through 22, almost verbatim. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he's thirsty, give him water to drink. For so you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. And so, Paul here is quoting from King Solomon, from the Proverbs, but he omits this last phrase. And I think there's just a very neat correlation between this passage of Romans 12 and the Proverbs. Did you notice this morning, those 24 traits, how many of them sounded just like the Proverbs that Solomon said? They're quick little one-hitters, little one-liners. When I read it, that was almost the first thing I read. Like, well, it sounds just like Proverbs. And here we've got the Apostle Paul quoting from the book of Proverbs. Well, we got that part out of the way. And now is where it gets interesting, because this is where different interpretations come in. What in the world does it mean to heap coals of fire upon someone's head, upon your enemy's head? So here's a couple of them. Here's four we're going to talk about. There's the idea of Egyptian repentance. We're going to use your head. We're going to talk about regret and embarrassment and repentance or God's judgment. So that's the four we're going to look at, and we'll see if we can figure out which one we think makes the most sense in light and in context of this passage. Heaping coals of fire upon your enemy's head. There we go, the Egyptian reference. Okay, I came across this one several different times, but I can't get a real hard evidence for this image. Jewett, or whatever this fellow's name is, he wrote a commentary. That's the book that he wrote. He suggests that since Proverbs draws on some Egyptian literature, it is probable that it refers to an Egyptian practice of a repentant person carrying on their heads some form of vessel with hot coals in it, symbolizing their repentance. So I don't know. That was a story that he thinks he's found of the Egyptians back in the old days. They would carry hot coals upon their head. I don't know if that's based in fact or fiction or lore. I couldn't find it anywhere else. But there are several people who hop up on this story and they say, well, heaping the coals of fire is in reference to an old Egyptian practice, and that Proverbs was borrowing from that concept. And then the Apostle Paul was borrowing from Proverbs. I can't say for a fact. I don't know. Now, a lot of people just talk about use the head. And what they mean by use the head is, back in Bible times, it was very common to carry stuff on your head. In fact, it still is. In the Oriental customs, they'll put buckets or they'll put vases on top of their head, and that's how they carry water. It's usually the women that carry water or supplies on top of their head. And in fact, wasn't too long ago, I guess, when the young ladies would be sent to, is it finishing school, they were told they would have to walk with books on their head to try to straighten up their posture and whatnot. Well, I suppose that's kind of the same idea. And so the idea, several people mentioned this, that you had to have fire, because you had to have something that could keep the fires burning in the home for the stoves and for warmth. And the idea was, if you ever lost your coals, if you ever ran out of fire, you just didn't go strike a match. You didn't just go push the button like on a lot of the new electrical propane fireplaces. You just didn't push a button and it turned on fire. It didn't work like that. You had to have live coals. So if you ran out, you'd go to a neighbor's house. And the neighbor would then heap coals of fire upon their head, as the image is given. And they would carry it in some kind of vase on their head back to their house. And then that way they would be assured of having some live coals, so when they got back to their house, they would be able to restart the fire. A fellow by the name of Woost, I guess is how you pronounce his name, he wrote a commentary, and that was his take on it. And so I haven't found a little picture. People carry stuff on their heads all the time. So is that what this means? That you ran out of coals, so you go to your neighbor's house and you load up coals in a vase on top of your head, and your neighbor heaps coals and does something nice for you and does something good for you? Is that what the reference means? Again, I don't know. Number three, regret and embarrassment. This is probably the most common of all that I've found. There's a fellow by the name of David Lipscomb. You've probably heard that name, and he put together a bunch of commentaries. I just took this directly out of Lipscomb's commentary on Romans chapter 12. In so doing, you'll make him feel and regret in his own heart the wrong he has done to you. We'll melt his enmity and change him into a friend. That is probably the most common that I have found to explain the idea of heaping coals upon someone's head. Coals upon your head, it gets hot, your face would turn flush, and you would blush. And it's the idea of being embarrassed. That someone does something so nice for you, even though they've done you so wrong, that by doing your enemy nice, it's going to make them so ashamed, regret so much, and be so embarrassed that they're going to turn from their evil ways and become a friend. They're going to become good. That's probably the most common that I've read in nearly all of these accounts, as you come across different commentators. Is that what it means to heap coals of fire upon someone's head? To do them so good that they can't help it but be your friend. My mama used to say, kill them with kindness. Is that what that means? I don't think killing with kindness is a bad idea. When you have an enemy, sometimes you treat them well. That's sometimes the best thing you can do instead of treating them evil for evil. And remember what one of our traits was. It said, repay no man evil for evil. He also said, overcome evil with good. So is that what he's talking about? I think that definitely fits the scenario in the context of our verses. But I got one more to look at before we make a decision. Is it repentance or God's judgment? And I think coals have a tendency to represent either repentance or God's judgment. So I want you to remember God's motivation. And his motivation is always repentance. God does not want anyone to be lost. God wants everyone to be saved. Now, he's going to let everybody make their own choice what they want to do. He's not going to force someone to do right. If a fellow wants to do wrong, he can do wrong. That is his choice. But remember what the Bible says in 2 Peter 3 and 9? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, some kind of slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants us to repent. That is his motivation. And so, same way, if we have an enemy, we should want them to repent. If God sees a problem between two people, he wants the person who is wrong to repent. That's what it's all about. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 7 and 10, we read about something called godly sorrow. It says, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. There's something called godly sorrow, that it is okay to feel bad. It is okay to be sad if it leads us in the right direction. It's okay for us to have our toes stepped on. It's okay for someone to say something that bothers us, that hurts our feelings, that hurts our conscience, if it's a godly sorrow and it helps to lead us to salvation. So is this the idea of heaping coals? That we somehow lead a person to repentance? And according to the internet, that's what everybody thinks it means. And so I pulled up a couple here. This is called dictionary.com. Sounds official. Heap coals of fire on someone's head. They say it's to repay evil with good in order to make one's enemy repent. I think that's a pretty good explanation of the idiom. Also found idioms, the freedictionary.com. And so if it's free, it's got to be better than the regular dictionary, I suppose. It says to make a special effort to induce feelings of guilt or remorse in another person. And so if I've got a fight with somebody, sometimes you try to make the other person feel guilty. And they say that's what it means to heap coals of fire upon someone's head. I've tried that a lot with Eric. And it's not real successful. But I'll admit I've done that in the past. And I'll ask her to do something, and she doesn't want to do it. And I'll say, fine, I'll take care of it. And I'll try to, and I'll just start doing everything. And I'll just start, you know, whatever it is, I won't let her help. I'll just start doing everything to try to make her feel guilty. So is that what it means to heap coals of fire upon their head? I used to work with a coach. If a player was ever late to practice, he would have that player sit down on the court in a lawn chair, and he would give him a glass of water or a glass of lemonade while everybody else ran. Is that heaping coals of fire upon his head? He's trying to make him feel guilty, and probably had a little animosity that the other players ran, but he wanted him to feel guilty. He went out of his way. He made a special effort to make the person feel guilty so he wouldn't do it again. Is that what it means to heap coals of fire on someone's head. Well, that's the idea of repentance. And there's several Old Testament passages that the underlying theme of the coals comes from repentance and forgiveness. As I was studying this, I kept thinking back to the book of Revelation. Because in the book of Revelation, I always would come across a weird phrase. The first thing I would try to do is there another biblical source? Is this a biblical reference that I just don't know? And I had to go back and study, and sure enough, there was a whole bunch of times those weird, crazy phrases were rooted in something in the Old Testament. And I think this is similar to the idea of heaping coals. It shows up several times in the book, in the books of the Old Testament. First one we'll look at is Leviticus 16 and 12. One of the feasts, this was a big one, was called the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement was the day that the high priest got to go in once a year into the most holy place. This was a big, big deal on the Jewish religious calendar. This was a big deal in God's eyes. And it has overtures all the way to the New Testament. But on the Day of Atonement, it says that he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, with his hands full of sweet incense, beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil. What did those coals represent? What was the Day of Atonement all about? The Day of Atonement was about repentance, and it was about forgiveness. That's what the Day of Atonement, that was the underlying factor. And so these coals are kind of used in that relation. Let me give you another example. Isaiah chapter 6. Paul's just been talking about this. Isaiah here is just so upset. He says, "Woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged." So what was the purpose of the hot coal touching Isaiah's lips? Repentance and forgiveness. It was out there forgiving him of his sins. Is that what coals represent? Do the hot coals that we heap upon a person's head, is it for repentance? I think that's probably the answer. I think it has to do with repentance. And repentance leads to forgiveness. Now what happens if we don't repent? What happens if we heap coals of fire upon an enemy's head and he doesn't repent? Well, I believe then it's all up to God's judgment. We don't have to worry about it. Let me remind you of some of the phrases in there. Do not avenge yourselves. And that's what Paul said. He said, do not avenge yourselves. He says, vengeance is mine. God's going to take care of the vengeance. We don't have to. We heap the coals of fire upon their head and we hope to lead them to repentance. If not, it's God's thing. As a Christian, we're taught to repay evil with good. Our best option, the most severe thing we can do, is to kill someone with kindness. And if it doesn't work, then God's going to take care of it on his own time. Psalm 140. A couple of the Psalms mention the same concept. Psalm 140, verse 9. As for the head of those who surround me, let the evil of their lips cover me. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire in a deep pit, that they rise up not again. Let not a slander be established in the earth. Let evil hunt the violent man to overthrow. What are these burning coals falling down upon them? I suppose that's falling down from heaven. What does that mean? Well, these burning coals, it's gone from repentance. Now we have this evil that won't change. And now it's turned into judgment. Psalm 18 and 12. From the brightness before him, his thick clouds passed with hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered the foe, lightnings in abundance, and he vanquished them. So again, the coals of fire are seen as part of God's judgment. I got one more for you. Now, this one's a little bit different. I saved this one for the end. Remember how there were some books that were written that were not included in the Bible? There were some other books that you might come across somewhere here in different translations. They're called the Apocryphal books. There was one called, I remember, the Gospel of Thomas. There was one called the Gospel of Barnabas. One called First Maccabeans and Second Maccabeans. Well, there's one called Second Esdras. And sometimes it's also called Third Ezra and Fourth Ezra. That's just here and there. But there's a book called Second Esdras. And this is one of those Jewish apocryphal books. It's not found in the Bible. It was deemed to be not inspired. But there is a verse that mentions this. Let not the sinner say that he hath not sinned. For God shall burn coals of fire upon his head, which saith before the Lord God in his glory, I have not sinned. And so when the sinner won't repent and says, I haven't sinned, I haven't done anything wrong, is the idea of God burning coals of fire in judgment upon the sinner's head. Then you could. What does this mean? What does this phrase mean? And I can't tell you exactly what it means. And I've got some different ideas. Does it refer back to the Egyptian concept of repentance? I don't know. Does it refer back to the idea of the children of Israel, when they ran out of coals in their house, they went to their neighbor's house and carried coals upon their head and vases? I don't know. Does it come back to the idea of being embarrassed and the heat from the coals flushing the face, just like you would if you were embarrassed and blushed? I don't know. I don't know the exact meaning of the metaphor. I don't know that anybody knows that. And if you start reading, you're going to get a different opinion from just about every writer that you read, that you come across. But I will tell you what I think the phrase does mean and what it's connected to. It appears that the phrase is connected with either repentance and forgiveness. And if that doesn't work, it's no repentance and judgment. That the fires of coals have an idea of bringing repentance and forgiveness for those who truly repent. But if you choose not to repent, then those same fires of coal can be used for judgment against that person. But don't ever forget the context. Christians should repay evil with good, and God will sort out the vengeance. So I think the idea of heaping coals of fire upon somebody's head means to try to bring them to repentance. Whatever the original metaphor means, I think the idea is to try to bring someone to repentance. And then the coals of fire are either going to lead them to forgiveness, or they're going to lead them to judgment. But that's not our part. That's not our, we don't have to deal with that. Once we do our part, once we treat evil with good, then all of a sudden, it all becomes God's problem. God takes care of it, and God will fix it. So what were the traits again? He said, repay no one evil for evil. He said, have regard for good things. Live peaceably with all men, as much as lies within you. Do not avenge yourselves, and overcome evil with good. So take it from that context, it seems that it's the idea of doing good for someone. Do good to someone who has done you wrong. And in doing so, it'll bring repentance, hopefully, on the part of your enemy. But if it doesn't, leave it alone. You've done your part. You've heaped the coals of fire upon their head, and now it is God's situation to deal with. If there's no repentance, God will take care of the judgment, not the Christian. So one more time, Romans 12 and 20. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire upon his head. And so the lesson is yours this evening. Maybe a little more understanding. Sometimes I think I understand less when I got finished than I did when I got started. That's how far I've come. So we never like to close up without offering a song of invitation. Anyone needs to help the church, we stand ready to help.